Welcome back, everyone, for another deep dive. We love to really get into these complex legal cases and try to pull out those little golden nuggets, kind of hidden in there.
Absolutely.
Today, we are going back in time, a little bit back to the 1960s,
okay,
to Virginia, and we're going to be talking about Lindsay v. Clark.
Right.
And this is a case that really highlights how seemingly simple property issues, these things that we deal with all the time, can turn into these huge legal battles.
Yeah, and this one is so interesting because it really does revolve around this pretty common scenario, this right of way.
Right.
But because of some miscommunication and just time passing and human error, it just kind of snowballs into this big legal battle.
Yeah, it's like watching a domino effect sometimes, how these things happen.
Exactly.
So let's set the stage here.
Quite.
Back in 1937, we have Floyd and Helen Clark, and they own this big piece of land.
Okay.
And they decide to sell a portion of it to their daughter and son-in-law, the Sixes. Now, the Clarks, being smart about it, they knew that they wanted to make sure they could still access their property.
Right.
So they reserved a 10-foot-wide easement along the southern border of the property.
Yeah, it's pretty standard practice.
Makes sense, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It's really common to retain those access rights, even after you sell off part of your property.
Absolutely. It's like a legal safety net.
Exactly.
So smart move on their part. But this is where things start to go a little sideways.
Oh.
The Sixes, they were so excited to build their new home on this property. And they made a little bit of an oversight. Their house ended up encroaching just slightly onto that easement.
Oh,
It
wow.
wasn't like a huge, massive intrusion,
Okay.
but just enough to kind of set off this chain of events that led to a legal battle.
Yeah, it's kind of amazing how these little tiny details can have these huge consequences later on.
Yeah, and it really emphasizes, for anyone out there working with property law, dot your I's and cross your plate.
Absolutely.
So tell me a little bit more about what happened after that.
Well, so Mr. Clark, instead of asserting his right to use the southern easement, which was, now partially obstructed by the Six's house, he just started using a different driveway on the north side of the property.
Okay.
Nobody seemed to mind at the time, and, life went on.
Right.
But this seemingly insignificant decision is what ended up really, becoming a big legal issue down the road.
So is that where the whole legal battle hinges on, did he give up his rights by not using the southern easement?
Yeah, that is a great question, and that's exactly what landed this case in court.
Wow.
Years went by, and the property changed hands a couple of times. First, it was sold to the McGees, and then finally to the Lindsays.
Okay.
And get this, the deed to the Lindsays never even mentioned the southern easement.
Oh boy. So now you've got these new owners, the Lindsays. And they have no idea about this easement. And then Mr. Clark wants to use this driveway that they think is theirs.
Right, and the Lindsays were not happy about it at all.
I can imagine.
They argued that he had basically abandoned his right to that easement because he hadn't used it for so long and because it wasn't in their deed.
I mean, that makes sense, right? You don't use it, you lose it. Isn't that a common principle in property law?
Well, it's not that simple, unfortunately.
Okay.
Virginia law and a lot of other states have a very specific two-prong test for figuring out if an easement has been abandoned.
Okay, so there's more to it than just not using it.
Yeah, there's this crucial element of intent that has to be considered too.
Two prongs. All right, so walk me through this legal test. What do we need to look for here?
Well, the first prong is what you'd expect, that cessation of use.
Right.
The easement holder has to have stopped using it.
Okay.
But, and this is important, the second prong is that there has to be really clear and convincing evidence that they intended to give up that easement for good.
Oh, so it's not enough to just not use it.
Yep.
You have to prove that they were like, yeah, I'm done with this. I don't want it anymore.
Exactly. You can't just gather dust. There has to be that clear intention to get rid of it.
Wow, that adds a whole other layer of complexity to things.
Yeah, and to make things even trickier, the burden of proof is entirely on the person claiming that the easement was abandoned.
Okay.
So in this case, the Lindsays had to convince the court that Mr. Clark not only stopped using it, but that he consciously and intentionally gave up his rights to it forever.
Oh, that's a tough one.
Right. Especially because he was still using a driveway, just a different one, to get to his property.
Yeah, that kind of makes you think he still wanted to be able to access his property, right?
Exactly. And in the end, the court actually agreed with Mr. Clark on that point.
All right.
They decided that while he wasn't using the southern easement, his actions didn't prove that he wanted to abandon it.
Interesting.
He was still using the northern driveway, so that showed that he still valued having access to his property, even if it wasn't through the original route.
Okay, so that's one point for Mr. Clark.
Yeah, the abandonment argument didn't work out for the Lindsays.
But I'm guessing they had another legal trick up their sleeve.
Oh, they did. That's where estoppel comes in.
Estoppel.
All right.
I love it when we get into these legal concepts.
Me too. It's basically like saying, hey, you made me think I had this right, so you can't go back on your word now.
Ah. So Lindsays were saying that Mr. Clark kind of led them to believe they owned the land free and clear?
Exactly. They pointed to him using the northern driveway and the fact that the easement wasn't in their deed.
Right.
They said they relied on all of that when they bought the property, and it wasn't fair for him to change things up on them now.
Okay, so to win with estoppel, wouldn't they have to show that Mr. Clark knew the Six's house was encroaching on the easement and, like, did something to say it was okay?
Right, and that they relied on that when they bought the property.
Exactly.
You nailed it. But the court didn't buy it in this case. They said a key element was missing.
Which was knowledge.
Knowledge. Okay, so what kind of knowledge? What were the judges looking for?
Yeah, they needed to show that he knew about the Six's encroaching on the easement and, like, somehow said it was okay or encouraged it.
It seems kind of far-fetched, right? It was a tough argument, especially given everything else going on in the case.
So what did the court say?
Well, the court said there wasn't enough proof to show that Mr. Clark knew about the encroachment when the Six's built their house.
Okay.
It seemed like the whole thing was just an honest mistake by both sides. They both misunderstood the boundaries.
Yeah, mutual oops.
Yeah, pretty much. And even though he was using a different driveway, the court didn't think he was trying to trick anyone or secretly give up his rights.
So it sounds like strike two for the Lindsays.
Yep, their abandonment argument didn't work and estoppel didn't work either.
What happens when both sides have decent arguments, but there's no clear winner based on the rules?
This is where the case gets really interesting. It goes into the world of equity.
Equity. Okay, so we're moving away from just the strict letter of the law.
Exactly. The court knew that Mr. Clark technically had a valid easement.
Right.
But they also knew that making the Lindsays follow it to the letter would be super unfair.
Yeah, asking them to tear down part of their house and landscaping for an easement they didn't even know existed.
It's a lot to ask.
It'd be a huge headache.
It would. And the court saw that. They wanted to find a solution that was fair and upheld everyone's rights.
So how do they do that? Did they invent some brand new legal principle?
Not exactly, but they got creative. They used the idea of he who seeks equity must do equity.
Break that down for me.
Basically, it means if you're asking for fairness from the court, you have to be fair yourself.
So Mr. Clark wanted his easement rights.
Yeah.
But the court was saying, hey, you got to recognize the burden this would put on the Lindsays. Let's be reasonable here.
Exactly. The court also took into account the clean hands doctrine.
I've heard of that one.
It basically says that neither side was intentionally trying to cause problems. It was just a series of mistakes.
Unintentional dominoes.
You got it. So what was the final outcome?
Yeah, what was the verdict? I'm on the edge of my seat.
The trial court came up with a pretty unusual solution.
Okay.
They said Mr. Clark could keep using the northern driveway.
So they kept things the way they already were.
Pretty much. But they made it official. And the Lindsays had to agree to keep that driveway open for him.
That's a win-win, right? It recognizes Mr. Clark's easement, but it doesn't cause a ton of trouble for the Lindsays.
It is. It shows how property law isn't always about winning or losing. It's about finding solutions that work in the real world.
This Lindsay v. Clark case, it's a great example of how property law can get really messy when people make mistakes.
Absolutely. And it shows how courts can be flexible and fair.
And it reminds us all that clear communication is key.
Always a good reminder.
If there had been a sentence in the original deed about using a different driveway, none of this would have happened.
Right. It's a great lesson for lawyers and law students. Clear writing can prevent a lot of headaches down the line.
100%. And this case also shows why it's important to look back at the history of a property.
You mean like how it's been used over time?
Exactly. It can help you understand what people intended and what kind of claims they might have.
Yeah, it gives the court more context to make a decision.
Speaking of decisions, this case really highlights how powerful those equitable remedies can be.
Right. When you're arguing for those kinds of remedies, you have to show the court exactly how much hardship your client is facing.
Give them the numbers.
Yep. The Lindsays showed the court it would cost them $8,000 to fix the problem.
That's a lot of money.
It is, and it probably helped sway the judge. Judges need to see that kind of evidence.
So tell a good story, but back it up with hard facts.
Always good advice.
Wow, we really went deep on Lindsay v. Clark.
We did. We started with a simple easement and ended up talking about fairness legal history and clear writing.
And it all shows how much more there is to property law than just following the rules.
Exactly. It's about balance and practicality.
Thanks for diving deep with us today. And remember, always read the fine print on those deeds. You never know what kind of easement adventure you might find.
They needed to show that Mr. Clark knew about that encroachment when the Sixes built their house and that he somehow, like, said it was okay.
Right, like he gave him the green light or something.
Exactly, but the court just didn't see enough proof of that.
Huh, so they were looking for, like, a smoking gun.
Yeah, like some kind of evidence that he was in on it from the beginning.
But they didn't find it.
Nope, they figured it was just a big misunderstanding all around.
So even though he was using a different driveway, they didn't think he was being sneaky or anything?
Right, the court saw it as a series of honest mistakes that kind of spiraled out of control.
Yeah, like those dominoes we talked about.
Exactly, a classic case of unintended consequences.
So that's two strikes against the Lindsays. First, the abandonment argument, and then the estoppel claim.
Right, but the story doesn't end there.
Okay. I'm intrigued what happened next.
Well, this is where the case takes a turn into the world of equity.
Equity. Okay, so we're talking about fairness and justice.
Exactly. The court realized that Mr. Clark technically had a right to use that easement.
Right, because it was in the original deed.
Exactly. But they also knew that forcing the Lindsays to honor it would be a huge burden.
Yeah, we're talking about potentially tearing down part of their house and landscaping.
It just wouldn't be right.
It sounds like the court was trying to find a solution that made sense for everyone.
They wanted to uphold the law, but also be fair to the Lindsays.
Okay, so what did they come up with? How did they solve this problem?
Well, they drew on this legal principle called he who seeks equity must do equity.
I've heard that one before, but I always forget what it means.
It's basically saying if you're asking for fairness, you have to be fair yourself.
Ah, so Mr. Clark couldn't just demand his easement rights without considering the impact on the Lindsays.
Exactly. The court was like, hold on a minute. Let's find a compromise here.
I like it. So what was the final verdict?
The court decided that Mr. Clark could keep using the northern driveway.
The one he had been using all along?
Exactly. They basically made the existing arrangement official, and the Lindsays had to agree to keep it accessible for him.
So everyone got something they wanted.
Pretty much, Mr. Clark got to keep using the driveway, and the Lindsays didn't have to make any drastic changes to their property.
That's a pretty elegant solution.
It's a great example of how courts can use their power to come up with creative solutions.
Lindsay v. Clark. It's a reminder that property law isn't always black and white.
Definitely. It's about balancing legal principles with real-world considerations.
And it shows how important clear communication is in these situations.
Oh, absolutely. If the original deed had just mentioned the possibility of using a different driveway, this whole mess could have been avoided.
It's like a legal PSA. Always be clear in your contracts.
Word.
This case also highlights how important it is to do your research.
You mean like looking back at the history of the property and how it's been used?
Exactly. That kind of historical context can be crucial in these cases.
It helps the court understand the bigger picture.
And speaking of the court, this case is a great example of how powerful those equitable remedies can be.
Right. When you're asking for equity, you have to show the court exactly how your client would be harmed.
Yeah, paint a clear picture of the hardship they would face.
Exactly, and if you can put a dollar amount on it, even better.
Like the $8,000 it would have cost the Lindsays.
Exactly. Hard numbers can make a big difference.
So it's not just about telling a good story. You have to back it up with evidence.
Always a good strategy.
Well, that was quite a journey through the legal labyrinth of Lindsay v. Clark.
It was. We covered easements, estoppel equity, and the importance of clear communication.
It just goes to show, you never know what kind of twists and turns you'll encounter in the world of property law.
That's what keeps things interesting.
Thanks for diving deep with us today, everyone. And until next time, keep those legal minds sharp.